Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, December 13th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's EggCartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on this cold, cold Monday morning. It is now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, author, poultry advocate, Pat Foreman.
Oh, hey, Whisper, you are so right about being cold. I seem to just be just hunkered down. I've been a mole all weekend. I've slept just about the all day yesterday, watched a couple movies, and then went back to sleep. How was your weekend?
It was absolutely wonderful. We really didn't do much of anything. Well, we did get a lot done around the house, and we got a lot of decorating done. But other than any events, other than a little neighborhood, you know, I don't want to call it a Christmas party, but a little neighborhood drop-in, holiday drop-in,
oh, nice.
I guess, yesterday afternoon after church. So we went to that, and then I spent a little bit of time yesterday working on the tractor, getting it winterized, if you will, while Jen decorated the tree. Then I came in and helped finish up decorating the rest of the living room. So nothing really eventful to speak of over the weekend, but it is very cold for a lot of people across the country the last few days and many days to come, just to let everybody know. Even here in Hotlanta, on the back porch, it said 19 this morning, and the news was saying, since I don't have really any way to measure wind chill, a wind chill of about 5 degrees, and then tonight, we're not going to get out of the high today is supposed to be around 29 as a high for today in Atlanta, and then tonight, 9 degrees is what they're forecasting in my area here, just barely north of Atlanta, about 30 miles from, maybe about 27, 30 miles from downtown Atlanta, so a high of about or a low tonight of about 9. And again, just want to let everybody know what I'm going to be doing tonight for my chickens when it's going to get down to 9. Let me see. Let me go ahead and count all the things that I'm going to do for my chickens. Nothing!
Well, I hope
so
at least
you,
they're draft-free and have a place to huddle down and kind of hunker together.
I have a well, we call her Broody Mama because she loves to go broody. She's a bantam hen, and she's out in the open. She has no access to coop. She has no access to nothing. Got down to the wind. Oh, my gosh, the wind last night, 30-mile-an-hour gust. It was pretty bad.
Oh,
and she either roosts on the tractor axle or she comes over and roosts on the makeshift or the, I guess not makeshift, but it's a fake wooden decorative well that we have that Jen bought a few years ago. And does just fine. No coop, no others to cuddle with, and that's my, you know, I hate to say this, but she's my little, she's my tester of outside what chickens can handle, because she's not a full-grown Buck Orpington. She is a bantam, so she's not like a Sarama bantam, though I have three of those and a bantam cochin and a little 3-foot by 4-foot tractor, and they did fine last night. No heat, no nothing. And yep, Sarama's smallest chicken in the world. And so yeah, little Broody Mama, no problems at all. And tonight it's going to be 9, and I'm sure I'll get up tomorrow, and she'll be scratching around probably before I'm even out of the bed. looking for a little scratch and whatnot. So no problems whatsoever. So, yep, did nothing last night. I got several emails yesterday thanking them for, hey, thanks, I was so worried. I'm glad everything will be fine. I got an email from a lady who said it got down to below zero and it had 50-mile-an-hour gusts, blizzard conditions.
My.
No heat lamp, nothing. And they did fine. She sent Saturday morning, Sunday morning. She was like, oh, we came outside and the chickens were great. We let them out. They're scratching around in the snow. No problems at all. Thank you, Andy, for your peace of mind. So, and everything was just fine and dandy. So, again, tonight, 9 degrees. And I do this so I can share it with everybody else across the country. Not necessarily to say you don't need a heat lamp or you shouldn't use a heat lamp. I'm just saying this is what I do, and they can handle it, no problems. If you know, because Pat, you know, we've talked about this several days. You can't argue with someone who says, but I'll sleep better at night knowing my chickens are warm and toasty. Okay, fine. I have no problems with that. I don't hold that against you. Go and put a heat lamp in there and have your coop burn to the ground with all your chickens in it. I don't care. I'm just kidding, folks. But I could send you an endless number of news articles from coops that have burned to the ground due to heat lamps, houses that have burned to the ground because of brooder heat lamps, because in the spring they're brooding. And so I can send you, we report it on this radio show, a house burnt completely down to the ground because they had a brooder lamp inside their house. And I'm guilty of that, but I set up different safety measures when I do that. A lot of people don't. But if you want to put a heat lamp in your coop, that's fine. It's your call. It's to make you feel better, not the chickens. And just be careful about the fire hazard. I don't want you to be calling me saying, oh, I should have listened to you because now my coops are burned to the ground and my chickens are all rotisserie because I had a heat lamp in there. So just be careful with that. We had a report on our Facebook page. Somebody put a kerosene heater in their coop. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, with as dusty as it is and the wood chips, chickens.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't believe that one. But it was just be aware. But, yes, tonight, 9 degrees, Broody Mama. I'll go out and check on her tonight and let's see where she chooses to roost tonight, whether on the tractor, but no other chickens to cuddle with. She's handling it fine. So I do that again to share with everybody what I do and what I don't do, and then they can take that and run with it and do whatever they choose to do. So tonight, I'll let you know tomorrow on the radio show how Broody Mama does. And see, we put her in the coop. We have three separate areas. We've got a coop with about a dozen chickens, another coop with about a dozen chickens, and then we've got the tractor with our tiny little bantams, the three Saramas and the bantam Cochin, and again with no heat, they're doing fine, no problems. And then Broody Mama, whenever we put her in either one of those or all three of those, she just gets picked on and picked on and picked on. We feel sorry for her. They just, oh my goodness. So I'm like, okay, fine. You win. And so, and of course, when she'd try to escape to get away from the torture. And so we're like, fine. We've actually put her a little doghouse in the garden. Won't use it. She'll find another place somewhere other than the doghouse where we have a little food and water for her. So I do have a little water out on the back patio for her, and I'll give her a little scratch or some calf manna when I'm going out to feed the goats and whatnot, sprinkle a little bit for her or whatever, but she's got plenty of bugs and whatnot around the yard to scratch for, but I'll let you know tomorrow on the radio show how she does. 9 degrees, no one to cuddle with, and no coop or nothing, just out in the backyard. So we'll see how it goes. How are your chickens doing?
Oh, they're all fine. They're in a wonderfully nicely ventilated but draft-proof area, and they head to bed pretty early these days. around 4:30, 5 o'clock, they're heading into the coop. And I do notice the hens, of course, are tucking their little heads under their wings every night. Roosters can't do that, so they have to schmooze off a hen next to them, or they might get a little bit of frostbite if they've got a single comb or other combs. But yeah, they're all doing fine. I had a little hawk attack yesterday, but the roosters beat them off, and that was pretty cool. The hen was fine, didn't have any wounds at all. So my flock is just fine and dandy. My main source of entertainment during the day, I must say, because I can just look out the window and see what's going on out there. So they're fine. Now, although I must admit, I still worry a little bit about frostbite for breeds, Andy, that have the large combs, because there are winter breeds, of course, and there are winter-tolerant breeds and certainly heat-tolerant breeds. And if you live up in Alaska, please get some of the winter and cold-tolerant breeds. So anyway, yeah, But thank you for asking. They're doing great. They're doing better than I am. I just want to curl up in the fetal position and sleep. It seems I think I've got the hibernation response. So, go ahead.
Dr. McRae in the chat room, I'm thinking this was addressed to me. It says, how will you measure her discomfort objectively come the morning? And then are her physiological changes? Well, didn't know I had to get fresh eggs from my little broody mama out in the backyard. So when I go outside and she comes running to me going, hey, how you doing? Oh, just trotting across the yard all nice and dandy and, you know, ready for a little scratch or a little banana or something. Then I'll figure, hey, she looks fine to me. She came to greet me at the door and she's scratching around looking for everything. And I get an egg somewhere in the backyard just about every day. So
you have an egg hunt, do you? That's pretty amazing. You have an egg hunt every day.
Every day, yeah, I have an egg hunt. Sometimes it's over by the tractor. Sometimes it's over somewhere else. So, okay, hang on. If you have video real quick, because I don't have my hat on today, because I'm being slack here in the office. But if you turn on the little video, and I'm going to try to get real close to the camera, and let me scroll up here a little bit. I want to see if you're looking at the camera and see if you see anything in there. You see anything about discomfort or physiological changes? Do you see any concern in there about that? I don't. So just wanted to make sure. Okay. Bye, camera.
Oh, God. I saw your finger in your eye.
Yeah, I was looking for any concern about physiological changes or emotional discomfort for Birdie Mama. And I didn't see any in there, so I think she'll do just fine when she comes running up to me tomorrow saying, hey, what, you got some banana for me? Or so. I love you, Dr. McRae. So, but anyway.
Dr. McRae says it's a good thing you're not. She says it's a good thing you're not in it for a profit. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Yeah, so I'm just, like I said, I do a lot of things around here to just share with others, whether it be dealing with broody or brooding or incubation. Hey, let's try this. Or, hey, you know what? We ought to try this. Let's try this so we can let everybody know what's going on. And y'all know my 13 number story. 13 ISA Browns, 13 degrees, 13 degrees, 13 ISA Browns. And there was another 13 in there. Anyway, so for 3 days, it got down to about 13 degrees here, and they were 13 weeks old, and they did absolutely fine in a Walmart plastic large gray doghouse with no door on it, and all of them did fine. But, yes, they could cuddle. So now with Broody Mama out back, I'm kind of, you know, just explaining to folks that, yeah, I get the body heat and everything, but we're just going to see what Broody Mama can tolerate out back with not having a coop, not being able to cuddle, and roosting on the back axle of my tractor all alone when it gets down to 9 degrees. So we'll see what happens. I'll take pictures of her tomorrow. I'll take pictures of her today and put her on Facebook, and then take pictures of her to tomorrow morning when I go outside to check on her early in the morning and see how she's doing. So, but we've kind of bonded because she knows, I think she knows that I let her out so she doesn't get picked on, and then give her a little, you know, give her a little snack every now and then, make sure she's well taken care of. So anywho, so just, you know, sharing what the CW does so y'all can make your mind up what you want to do for your birds. And actually I put down on my Facebook page the other day, I think it was yesterday, I put down, I said, on a serious note, you know, I really don't do anything for my chickens when it's cold except maybe give them a little bit of scratch in the evenings, about as much as they can clean up in about 15 minutes. You know, and you know, digesting the whole and cracked grains will help produce a little internal body heat. And I told people, you know, I probably would purchase a heated water base or a heated waterer if it happened often in Georgia where I would need one. But our quick and cheap solution is, since I have so many waterers, just keep one inside the sunroom there, and then in the morning just swap it out. And then that's good for most of the day. And then at night, if it freezes during the day, I'll swap it out again with the one I brought in the morning. Pretty simple. And so that, since it's not, you know, 9 degrees 24/7 here where we constantly have frozen waterers, so I'd probably buy a heated waterer or heated or waterer base if it was something we needed, you know, routine, or maybe if I didn't work out of the house and I had to run out the door at 6 in the morning and I didn't have time to, you know, go out and change the waterers or something like that, then I would probably get one of those. So I shared that with a bunch of folks, and then this is how I do the waterers when they actually freeze. Because, you know, last year and the year before, you know, we would heat water up on the stove and then pour it in and around the waterers. And then, of course, when it was real cold, that just refreezes. So it's just as easy based on time to just have an extra, take it out there, swap them out, let the other one thaw, then swap it out again. It's about just as easy to do that. But some people buy the heated bases, the heated waterers, and some people make their own. I know that Hidden Acre Quail, who's in the chat room quite often, talks about how you can make your own heated water base. I think with a light bulb and a pie pan that works real well, and it's very inexpensive. So he talks about how to do that. You can get in contact with him if you have any questions about the frozen heated water, homemade heated waters. And I know over on backyardchickens.com, there's a lot of advice there about how to make a homemade heated water if you choose to. So I'm going to get over here and see if I've got, well, one chicken. It's not really chickens in the news. It's more of kind of a announcement here. Posted pictures of the lone chicken ornament on my Christmas tree. I did that on the Facebook page yesterday. But let me get down here. I think it was over the weekend, and it was quite interesting, the number of people that have started to participate in this contest. Brency is having a contest where you can win a brand new incubator on their Facebook page. And all you have to do, it's very easy to enter, all you have to do is tell them why you hatch eggs. I mean, basically, how cool is that? If you're on Facebook and you just go and search for a Brincy, B-R-I-N-S-E-A, I posted this over the weekend, and from my post, they've already increased their fans or likes by double. They had 200 fans. I posted it. Now they have 422. So they're growing like gangbusters. Tons and tons of people are entering this contest. And all you have to do is post why you hatch eggs or why you enjoy hatching out eggs. And whoever gets the most likes by people clicking like on that particular post of why they like to hatch eggs, then you'll win. If you have the most likes, you'll win this awesome Brency incubator. So I wanted to let everybody know about that that's going on right now. Lots of people will love that contest. Let me see here. I've got a little email here. We got our special guest coming on, Matt Lehman, or Matt Lehman, depending on the way you want to pronounce it, will be our special guest today. He'll be joining us probably in about 10 minutes, and he's with the American Bantam Association. I met Matt up at the Ohio National. We had a great time. He was a judge up there, so he's going to be our special guest today. In fact, I'm going to ask him the question that we had a caller last week, if you remember, called in and said, when is a line mine? Meaning, if he's breeding birds, maybe he bought a bird from this person and that person, or these two lines, or however he did that, he wanted to ask and see, hey, when does a line become mine? I can name it, and it's truly my line. So we're going to ask Matt about that specific question. We're going to talk about the Ohio National a little bit. And if you have any questions about showing, how to get into showing, or any big shows that are coming up, any kind of rules or regs you'd like to see changed, or why, or questions about rules and regulations that they have at the different shows, today is the day for your questions to do that. I'm going to get over here to my email. Matt will be here shortly. And then, Pat, we're going to have you go ahead and share your chickens in the news while I go through. I got so many really over the weekend. There was a couple that I really wanted to share with everybody, I think, today. So as I kind of weed through these and get the ones that I want to share, we'll have you go ahead and share your chickens in the news with everybody today.
Okay, well, great. This one comes from the Chicago Tribune, and it's called The Stew. It's the title is The Humane Society and Consumers Sue Perdue Over Humane Claims on Their Chickens. And this is by Monica Eng. So it's really interesting. The whole idea about what is considered humane treatment is still up for grabs, apparently, with our laws. It says
even
so
in my backyard.
According
to some people just can't fathom that I have little broody mama running around outside by herself, even though they've done it for 10,000 years. Some people might consider what I'm doing is inhumane. So go ahead, Pat.
Well, Well, it starts with a question. So what is a humanely, in quotes, unquote, raised chicken? And it seems that the Humane Society of the United States and Purdue Farm have vastly different opinions on this unregulated term. And I think the key here is that the term is unregulated. What's humane for chickens, anyway, for poultry, doesn't have any really strong, almost no legislation behind it. So a few days ago, the society announced a class action lawsuit against the nation's third largest poultry producer. And their suit is over the company's alleged false advertising of factory-raised chicken products as humane. So they're putting on their label that you see when you buy the chicken the term humanely raised or humane. The suit alleges that Purdue is illegally marketing its harvest land and the Purdue chicken products with humanely raised labels in violation of the New Jersey Consumer Fraud Act. Companies like Purdue are exploiting the dynamic growth of consumer demand for improved animal welfare, and they're doing it for their own profit. This was the vice president of the Animal Protection Litigation Office for the HSUS in the press release. Purdue has simply slapped humanely raised stickers on its factory-raised products, hoping that consumers simply won't know the difference. Now, here's the other hand. Purdue says that it claims that its label is based on the animal welfare guidelines of the National Chicken Council. And the National Chicken Council is a trade group for the chicken industry. But that suit also alleges that those guidelines allow for the treatment that no reasonable consumer would ever consider humane. So in other words, the National Chicken Council has guidelines that no one else would consider humane, but we know what they are. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of these farms. Now, here's the odd thing about this one, is that both the National Chicken Council and the Humane Society are citing the famed humane animal handling expert and specialist Temple Grandin as endorsing their claims. The National Chicken Council says that Grandin was on the scientific advisory panel that reviewed the guidelines. But the Humane Society quotes that Grandin was saying that the National Chicken Council audit scoring system is so lax that it allows plants or farms to have really bad practices to pass. So that's the whole bottom line debate on this. And we'll see where this goes, because this could have huge ramifications across the U.S. about how certainly layers and broilers are raised. And then the other one that I've got, Whisper, is just a quick announcement. It's the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club. We have a meeting on the 16th of December, and we're going to be talking about maple syrup, because we're the Poultry and Garden Club, along with sustainability. And so what we're going to do is have this old-fashioned skill. There's going to be a how-to, hands-on way to tap the trees and to get your sap so that you can make between a quart and 4 gallons of maple syrup using cheap equipment and trees from your backyard or neighborhood trees. It's, of course, free and open to the public. And then they're also going to have just a few smaller presentations by club members on buying and selling poultry at an auction, homestead and vegetable gardening, and just general other poultry information. So if you're interested, just go to meetup.com and search for the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club. We'd be glad to have anyone come and attend. That's all the news I've got, Whisper.
Very good. Thank you very much for sharing that. And what a great skill to have, because just this past weekend, I guess it was Friday maybe, we went over to Whole Foods, and we're picking up just a few things over the weekend, and maple syrup was on our list. We wanted some, we wanted breakfast for dinner. And so whatever it would be, your pancakes or waffles or French toast or whatever the case may be. And so we finally found the aisle over there with the maple syrup. And Jen, as I turned the corner, she was like, I'm not sure if you want to buy syrup here or not. And I'm like, why? Is it out of this world? And sure enough, man, it was quite expensive. They had some jugs that were $17.99 all the way up to about $30 for a jug of maple syrup. And I think we got about the smallest one that they had for, I think it was either $5.99 or $7.99 for this tiny little thing of maple syrup. It was darn tasty and nice, but wow, how expensive it was. Now maybe we can find some a little bit less expensive at Publix, but the problem with syrups today, as many of my listeners know, is that you turn the bottle around and look at all the crap that goes into this
syrup that you're pouring and on your food. I mean, the very first ingredient on some of them were, of course, high fructose corn syrup. It was the number
one
ingredient, which means it's the most that's in that bottle. And I was just like, oh my gosh, barf. And then, of course, not just high fructose corn syrup, and the next one is corn syrup, and then the next one is, you know, another type of, you know, product. So it was horrible. So again, like many people say, pay now or pay later when it comes, of course, even to your health care and the way you take care of yourself. So we popped for that little $5.99 for that little bottle of maple syrup, and it was dandy. So that I just wanted to share that with folks because we just didn't want to pour a big amount of high fructose corn syrup all over our homemade backyard eggs, French toast, or our organic pancakes, and then cover it with high fructose corn syrup. We just weren't going to do it. So it was interesting that you're having that class. That's awesome. I wish I lived closer where I could partake in that.
Well, it's the season. I mean, this is the time to do it, and it's so easy. That's one of the things that's been made clear about it. Elizabeth Souter is going to be doing the class, and she's a homesteader that makes their own maple syrup every year. They live literally on practically nothing, money wise, but they have a remarkably rich. She's also can go through the woods and pretty much forage and find just about anything to eat.
Dragon,
it's a great class. I planned it. I might even try my hand at it this year. So,
Dragon in the chat room says, locally where she's at, 4 ounces. 4 ounces of maple syrup is $22.59. $22.59 for 4 ounces of that maple syrup. My goodness gracious. So, all righty, this comes to us from Central Western Daily. And poultry for people who've fallen foul of the law. The Orange Show next year will have a unique exhibitor in the poultry section called The Jailbirds, after members of Orange Poultry Club handed over several chickens and other birds to be cared for by prisoners at Oberon Correctional Center. Several prison officials traveled to Orange on Saturday for the handover, which marks the start of a project where prisoners will care for and groom the birds in preparation for their first showing. We have already invited the group to exhibit at Orange. Orange Show Society President Peter Naylor said, the project was initiated by Orange Poultry Club member Gary Norman, who is a correctional officer at Oberon. Mr. Norman has been working closely with inmates to build a poultry enclosure at the correctional facility. Now it is complete. The only thing missing is the poultry, which was handed over at Orange Showground on Saturday morning. Oberon Correctional Center Acting General Manager Richard Arobe and Deputy Governor Mark Kennedy traveled to Orange on Saturday for the handover. Caring for the poultry will give the inmates the responsibility of looking after and caring for them. And in the past, these type of programs where inmates had to care for dogs have proved to be extremely successful, he said. Inmates have really embraced the program at other correctional facilities where they care for puppies, and it's also a program at Windsor where they rehabilitate greyhounds who have been rescued due to ill treatment. This is an important initiative for the animals who will be able to experience firsthand the responsibility of caring for the birds, he said. This is first of its kind, and the center and our club is very willing to become involved. So very, very cool. Very, very cool there. And then there was one more, which I'm not going to read completely because we're going to go to break and bring on Matt Lehman with the American Bantam Association. But if you live anywhere around Denver, it's coming up for vote to allow backyard chickens over in Denver. There were a couple of news stories that came across the newswire over the weekend that Denver backyard poultry is on the docket for Denver to see if they're going to allow backyard poultry in Denver. We know it's allowed in Longmont, and in fact, we know that Longmont is really has been instrumental in getting the word out that even after everybody was crying foul and saying, oh, all these problems, all these problems, all these problems, and then now they see after a couple of years there haven't been any problems that everybody was crying foul about, then they're putting it in the news saying, hey, we want to make this not just a trial for 2 years. We want to make this regular old law for everybody, not just a few that went out and got the permits to do this trial with backyard poultry. So it's going to be interesting to see if Denver takes note of that being right down the road from Longmont, Colorado. So I'm sure that they'll be hopefully using Longmont as an example where everybody was complaining about this, that, and the other that they think backyard chickens may bring, but never did. And, of course, we knew that on this radio show, and but very, very interesting. So very good. All righty, let's get over to the chat room. We'll take a break here. Brits and Grits, Bubba Tanticles, hadn't seen you in the chat room for a while. We've got Chicky Chicky Baby, Dr. McCray, good to see you in the chat room. We've got Dragon. We've got East Dallas Dave, Funny Farmer, Granny Kathy, my neighbor just right up the road. A gray artist is joining us. Quite a few guests in there today. If you'll take a moment to register, you'll get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. We've got Hooch. We've got Kelly, Love for Poultry, Pat Foreman, Ralph, S.A. Kim. We've got Sandy Chicken, Show Me Silkies, Terry Nick, and Walter. So very cool. Thank you very much for filling up the chat room. And we got Sandy Chicken as a first-timer, and she's got 40 chickens now. Be careful. That 40 will end up being 200 if you're not careful, Sandy. I can tell you right now, they can be addicting. So we'll be back right after this short break, and we're going to be talking all about American Bantam Association showing. We have a question for Matt as soon as we come back. Thanks for staying with us, folks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink.
A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your HenSaver aprons today at HenSaver.com. That's HenSaver.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Oh, yeah!
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today. It's Monday. We've got a great week lined up for you today. Today we've got Mass Layman with the American Bantam Association. Tomorrow, Jeanette Barringer with the American Livestock Graze Conservancy. We've got Your Garden Show this coming Wednesday. And then Thursday, another great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McRae. And then another fun Friday, this Friday, the 17th. So we've got a great week lined up for everybody with lots of great poultry information and gardening information. Coming at you on Backyard Poultry with the Chickens Whisperer. Already it's about time to go to the phone lines to bring on the one and the only, Matt Layman. Now, Matt, is because I've heard everybody call your last name different things. Is it Layman or Lamar?
It's Layman, Andy.
Layman. Okay, that's why I use both, because I've heard it both ways. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you very much. Well, by the way, it was very nice to meet you up there at the Ohio National. We had a blast up there. Put lots of faces with the names over the last couple of years of talking with people on the phone and via email. So, Bryce, we appreciate you stopping by the table and shaking hands with you and saying howdy. And what my way show it was. Let me tell you, wasn't it great?
Yeah, that's the mother of all chicken shows, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was truly amazing, and we just met lots of folks, lots of great folks, fans and listeners of the show. We got to see all kinds of different breeds of chickens, some of our favorites, some that we, you know, we were like, maybe we ought to look into that one. So, and everybody was just so nice, just like me and Jen. Still, after many years of running into chicken folks, we've never met a chicken person we did not like, and it continued even there. And of course, we're looking forward to, I guess it's next October for is it Crossroads? It's going to be kind of the an annual
Crossroads
show, I'm guessing. Yes, Crossroads.
In November.
November. Okay, 13,000 chickens, I think they're projecting. Is that right, Matt?
It's actually the last weekend in October. It's like a 3-day. I'm bad with dates, but I know it's the last 3 days in October. And 13,000 may be a little hopeful. I'm not sure what they'll end up with over there. It will be a joint meet again of the American Poultry Association and the American Bantam Association. So that mm-hmm. tends to bring a lot of people in. One of the hitches I think that's going to hurt them a little bit is the fact that the American Rabbit Breeders Association Nationals at the same place. So it brings a lot of congestion into the fairgrounds that weekend. So I think some people may stay away for that reason.
Really?
Right, the rabbit show.
Yeah, oh. The rabbit shows, I showed rabbits for over 30 years. They'll have over 30,000 rabbits, and people are just crazy at the Rabbit National. So that at the same time I don't think was a good idea, but that's how it ended up, and I guess we have to deal with it now.
October 28th and the 30th of 2011, Indianapolis, Indiana, Crossroads 2 show, 2011 APA National and 2011 ABA National. And, yeah, I heard that's one reason why you need to go ahead and book your accommodations now, because
yep.
of both the rabbit show and the poultry show that are going on the same, obviously not in the same building. It's apparently a big, big venue.
It's a big fairground, but you want to get your rooms, because each mm-hmm. breed in the rabbit clubs will have a host hotel, and they'll probably take up a whole hotel, just each
wow.
breed. So it's a pretty big deal. So all of us there together is going to be kind of congested, not just so you're aware of that.
Exactly. So book your rooms. I got to put that on my list of things to do. We're going to try to definitely attend that show as well. We had so much fun at the Ohio National this year, and we're going to try. I know lots of people are putting the Crossroads on their on their calendar as well. We'll definitely be looking forward to it and attending and being a part of that. And maybe we can do the same thing and update some of our equipment by then, because at the Ohio National, as you know, it was, I don't know if it's ever been done. We had live video and audio at the same time, so people not only could listen to the show, but they could actually see what was going on. And so I've already been kind of, you know, when the opportunity arises, looking at upgrading video cameras and webcams and things to get a more crisp picture and things like that for you know, next season, and investigating how we can do that more effectively. So we had a good time, and we'll do that at Crossroads. So a question I had, we had talked a little bit about this last night. I wanted to ask you on air, so when people listen to the archive of this as well, and maybe the gentleman who asked this question last week, and his question was very interesting, and the chicken doctor, Peter Brown, we asked him on this when he was on live, and it was, when does a line, meaning a line of poultry, become yours? When you're breeding and you're mixing and matching different, you know, trios and whatnot, and you're like, okay, this is what I want. This is the, I like this from this chicken and this from this chicken. I need to go ahead and mate them and see what happens. And then from those offspring, I'll pick the best of this one, the best of that one. And then you kind of create your own line. And so when does that line, and it may not be any official answer based on APA, ABA, and all the others that are out there, but what, in your opinion, and what you, and with your field, and your field, you've been in it for so long, what would you like to tell this gentleman about when that line really should become him, become his?
And like you said, Andy, it's my opinion, so everybody will have one. I like to think of it on this way. If you buy birds from an individual that's raised those birds for many years and you don't add anything to them and you breed those birds pure and inbreed back-to-back, not putting anything else in there, about 5 years' time, that'll be your line. You'll actually put your own personal stamp on it. And they used to say jokingly that you'll screw them up two times in 5 years and you'll have to breed yourself back out of it. So I think, in my opinion, if I bought a trio of birds from somebody and I didn't add anything to them, in 5 years, they would be mine. Now, if I bought birds from Andy and I bought birds from Pat and crossed them together, immediately that's my line, because I made that cross. I crossed two completely different lines together. So that's my take on that question. We get that quite a bit.
Okay, very good. Interesting. Pat, you're live, too. If you have any questions for Matt, just chime in regarding that. But I wanted definitely to ask that question as well. Are there any other, right off the top of your head? Well, actually, tell us where, if you know, kind of your schedule coming up, where you're going to be showing on some of the shows. I think there's one that another one that I'm going to be attending where I'm going to run into you as well.
Yeah.
Coming up. But
yes, I get to go to their wonderful group that you have down in Georgia, the Calhoun Poultry Fanciers Group is moving their show to Dalton this year, so I told them that I would judge. That is the first weekend in February, so it's just a one-day Saturday show, but I'm looking forward to coming down there. I told them I'd come down there for years, and this never worked out, and so happened they got me early enough this year that we'll be down there for that, and looking to get out of this Ohio weather in February, and hopefully it'll be warmer in Dalton. And then our next big event, Crossroads kind of overshadows this, and I don't want to be remiss and not mention it, but our semi-annual meet will be in Delmarva in Harrington, Delaware, the first weekend in March. So that's actually our next big show, ABA-wise, before we move on to the Crossroads show in October.
Okay, interesting, because that's up near Dr. McCrae's neck of the woods up there, the Delmarva Peninsula. I know she's in the chat room now. She's got an event coming up, I think, as well, called Cooptastic, that I believe is going to be in March as well. So I'm going to try to do my best to make it to Cooptastic this year as much as she does for this radio show. I told her that Jen and I are going to do our best to try to get it there for Cooptastic. So I doubt I'll be able to make both of those, but definitely will be able to try to make Cooptastic. And I definitely look forward to seeing you up in Dalton in February. It'll be nice and cold down here, and you just never know the way those cold fronts, because we have Walter in Connecticut is in the chat room now. He's a regular listener, and he said, man, I can't believe it's colder in Georgia than it is in Connecticut when it's getting down to 9 degrees tonight. And it's not always like that, and somebody on the day Facebook said, it's colder than Atlanta than it is New York. Something's wrong with this picture. But every now and then.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
It's way.
It's on its way, Walter. Just hold tight. We're sending it to you. And y'all got slammed up in Ohio too. What's it like up in that area?
Yeah, We had about 10 degrees this morning. We've got 6 inches of wild blowing snow on the ground. It was 30 mile an hour winds overnight. So I've got a driveway that needs cleaned out again.
That's something that it snowed all day yesterday. But and when people were calling me saying, "Hey, what's it doing? I heard it snowing." I said, "Yeah, well, basically we got a dusting on our roofs, on our mailboxes, and on our cars, and on the little pine islands that are out in our yard. But other than that, it's about it." Now, we had if we wouldn't have had the 2 or 3 warm days that we had from our last cold front that moved, then we would have been in a world of hurt down here, because we don't have, you know, it's funny, I was listening to the news, and they were like, well, they're talking about the Georgia Department of Ag. Maybe it was the city of Atlanta when they were talking, because I know Georgia's Department of Transportation, a little bit more prepared. But they were like, yes, our 7 snow plows are all working.
I was complaining, and a friend of mine, Dustin Wilson, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, sent me some pictures of going out to water his ducks, and they had 2 foot of snow. So I thought, well, you guys make me want to move farther south.
It's funny. I posted a video on YouTube that someone had that, you know, it says another reason not to live in Michigan, and it was just like 3.5 minutes of just car wreck after car wreck after car wreck after car wreck in the snow and ice. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought we were the ones that didn't know how to drive in the snow and ice down here, but maybe I'm not so sure that's such a correct rumor anymore. It was so funny.
Sure.
So, hey, I have Pat on, and not really related to the ABA, but we can put all our brains together here. On the Hill in Texas, in the chat room, she also posted this on my Facebook page. I was going to share with everybody. She has 2 runner ducks. Now, I don't have any ducks now. I have raised a few ducks in the past, but and treatment I think would be the same. We also have Dr. McCray in the chat room as well. She says, I have 2 runner ducks. One was mauled by something earlier today. We're not sure what. He was bleeding from his nostrils. His neck looks like it got the worst of the mauling. I brought him in, cleaned his eyes and cleaned his nostrils, put him in by the fire. What more can I do? And it was a little bit more, let me get over here to my, a little bit more detail on my Chicken Whisperer page here at Facebook. There was something else that was, it doesn't look like anything broke the skin, it says, on the neck, but apparently it looks like the neck took the brunt of the whatever trauma. So that blood coming out of the nostrils, obviously something's bleeding internally coming up from the neck and out the nostrils and the beak there. So Pat, if you want to start, we'll have Matt also follow up, and we'll get Cindy, here's her name, on my Facebook page, get her some information about what she can do to try to take care of this.
Oh, gosh. Well, if that were my hen whisperer, I would probably keep her in a little dog kennel or something that's separate from the others, and just let her be still and make sure she had some really good good feed, probably give her some chopped up hard-boiled egg, and I wouldn't want her to have any as little stress as possible. So I would keep her at least at a, not cold, but I wouldn't bring her to like 70 degrees, 65 degrees room temperature, but I'd make sure that she was probably a little warmer than the outside coop had. So, and I might give her a little bit of, if she had no really external wounds, that's pretty much what I do for her, and then watch her really close. I might give her some extra B vitamins in her water just to make sure that she had some of the stress vitamins. So
Dr. McCray had mentioned in the chat room to fix the coop to keep the predator from coming back.
Fix
that problem so it doesn't. Yep, and then go to the vet to check for internal injuries. And I like that answer. I like your answer, Pat. The only problem is we don't know if she has over $100 to take it to the vet. We don't know if she even has any vet in her area that would actually even see a duck. My one of my funniest stories is, even here in Georgia, poultry capital of the world, I took in a good old yard bird, a Rodon Red, just, you know, long, maybe 8 years ago. Walked into the vet closest to my house and said, hey, you know, my chicken has a little trauma issue going on and we need to have it seen. And they said, well, we don't deal with exotics. And I was like, it's a yard bird. This is Georgia and it's a chicken. And so, but no, they wouldn't even see it. And so that's the only issue with that is that her closest vet that would even see the duck maybe 100 miles away, it's going to be over $100. But that would probably be the best way to, if she can do that, to know 100% without a doubt what kind of internal injuries that it does have and if it is healable, operable, or fixable, or whatever the case may be. Matt, what any 2 cents on, because you've been breeding for many, many years.
I would agree with all those things except for maybe the vet thing, because like you say, you're probably going to waste your money if it's an internal injury. There's going to be little or nothing you can do anyways, he or she. What I would do, one step above what everybody else said, was make sure it had plenty of water. If it's bleeding internally or there's something going on inside of her, let her be able to dunk her head in the water and maybe wash some of that out. And then you'll see if it's continuing to bleed. Or we've had this before with ducks that usually hawks or owls are really bad on ducks if they're out running. And they will compress their neck and crush things in there. So make sure she's got plenty of water. Keep her by herself and see if she's drinking. And if that's going okay, there's no blood showing up in the water, I would think she'd probably, get over it if you kept her by herself long enough to heal up.
Okay, great. Thank you for all of that. I'm sure she appreciates that. We've got another question here. Let me scroll down. Here we go. And I'll read it out here. Doesn't specifically, it's not going to say, this is just personal experience from Kelly here in the chat room. Let me see if I can scroll up and let it stay long enough for me to read this question. With all Bantam shows, has it ever been suggested for OEG judging to be separate from all other Bantam breeds? I find that the all Bantam shows, the OEGs always seem to win. Not just her personal experience going to shows, but you may have heard this question before and wanted your 2 cents worth.
I guess if she's in the Southeast. The Old English Game Bantam is the number one bred bantam in the United States. So as birds are exhibited, we keep a record of everything shown in an ABHO. They're probably about 60% of what's shown. So they're going to win 60% of the time probably. So the Southeast, there's a huge concentration of Old English Game breeders and a very good Old English Game breeders. So down there, unless you've got something really exceptional in another breed, it's going to be real hard to beat them just in the numbers that they exhibit. They will be three-quarters of the show a lot of times down there. And I look for Dalton to be at least 50% Old English. So just kind of the area you're in, that's not typical anywhere else.
I know for a fact because I chose not to go to a show this weekend. It was an all Bantam show. It was up in Hartwell, Georgia. I think they claim it's the longest running poultry show in the state of Georgia. And Love for Poultry had text her saying, "Hey, how many birds? What kind of turnout? Things like that." I guess Saturday afternoon, and she said there was probably. I think she said there was probably about 750 birds, and out of those, probably 500 or more were Old English.
Very, very typical in the Southeast.
Yeah, and so that was really amazing. So, Dr. McCray, we have very few OEGs up here compared to California or the Southeast. So, that's great information.
All over the United States and even California, there's not near as many as there is where you're at there. They don't predominate the shows like they do down there.
Yeah, Love for Poultry, Christina Duncan, she's one of the leaders of the APA, ABA youth program here in Georgia. She put in the chat room, "Thank you, Matt. You've convinced me to move back up north." And that's fine with me because that'll be less traffic here for the natives of Atlanta. So we can get all the Yankees to move out. Hey, we'll love the traffic here. Thanks a lot. I love you, Love for Poultry. I love you. So, only 700 total in the open, I guess. So, and I guess however many 500 or so were Old English. So very, very, very cool. Pat, do you have any questions for Matt while we have him on? I thought we wouldn't keep him on too long because he's busy. But any questions regarding the ABA shows, anything like that?
Yes, there was one from Kelly in the chat room. She says, with all the Bantam shows, has it ever been suggested for the OEG judging to be separate from all the other Bantam breeds?
They have their own class, so they actually are judged separate before they go to the when they're picked for class champions or put up front and they pick champion of show, it just the typically down there where you have a lot more of those being shown at a lot higher quality, they're going to probably win over everything else. If you had that many Rock Bantams shown down there, I'm sure a Rock Bantam would come to the top too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a numbers game down there. You've got a lot more of them and a lot more people breeding them.
Okay. Okay.
Somebody asked if you had your coffee this morning, Pat.
That's only Wednesdays. That's just Wednesday
mornings.
I do have one thing, Andy. We have a discount on our standards. And it's only on bantamclub.com.
Yes.
Karen, our secretary, who was supposed to be on today, but she's got a sick child at home, so I told her I fell in for her. She's running a special. Go to bantamclub.com, and if you were looking to buy an ABA standard, you'll get a big discount on them if you buy them through the holidays. So.
Okay,
and
I'm looking there.
There's t-shirts
right
on
now.
There, too. Should be right on the main page. They have a...
There it is. Yeah, absolutely. And they've got the seamless leg bands that are available in the online store, and I'm looking there right now. That's great. It's www.bantamclub.com. www.bantamclub.com. I'm looking right here. The ABA Bantam Standard is normally $35. You can get it now for $30. The ABA Mini Standard for normally $30 is now only $25. And then the ABA Limited Edition Standard, which is normally $50, is now only $45. So $5 off of all of the publications they have at the ABA. And then tees, or it looks like they're... 20% off. ABA logo T-shirts, normally $10, are now just $8. Where can you buy a T-shirt for $8? I mean, we sell ours for $10 normally. Yeah, they absolutely.
Well, I recommend that mini standard. If you're looking to get one, it's about the size of a paperback book, and it fits right in your pocket real nice, in your show pocket or your coat pocket, and you can carry it around with you. I use one when I'm judging all the time, so I love that. Now, I do have to have the bifocals on to read it because it's kind of small print. But I like that. It's not a great big book to where you carry around and lose it. It'll fit right in your pocket. So I like that mini standard. That was a great thing we come up with, and those are probably one of our best sellers.
Nice.
Kelly said she's really looking forward to meeting you in Dalton. She's going to be there. It'll be a first of the year at a show for her, I think, this coming up year in 2011. So she's looking forward to that. I'm planning on being there to see you there as well. I don't think that you'll be at the Jefferson show because that'd be a heck of a long drive unless you were judging. Love for Poultry was asking if you want to be at Jefferson. That's a really good show there. It's amazing, and I love to go to that show because there's such great people. But also, when I ask them, when I interview the show coordinator on the show, on the radio show when we're live, I'll ask her, at least I know they've grown, but the last couple of years, and they'll have 1,400 birds at the show, and it's a great facility for it. And I say, so how many members do you have in your poultry club here that put on this show? And I remember the first year it was like 9.
I've always wanted to go over there, and I just haven't had a chance to get there. And the Chattahoochee Club, I think, is what they call it. Isn't that the name of the...
They have the Jefferson's up. I forget the name of that club, but actually the one down in Noonan is the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Club. That's in Noonan, and that one's amazing, too. That facility is the best you can get. It ranks up there some of the best in the country. And maybe, I don't know if they'll hit 3,000 or 4,000 birds this year, but that show, really, there were people from all over the country last year at that show. So they've got a really good reputation.
It's a good thing you've got active shows and new people coming in and getting that started. Other areas are kind of going the other way where, some of the old shows are kind of dying off because they don't have the people. So I always like to see an area where it's growing, and that's the Southeast seems to be a good area for our membership in the ABA is tremendous in the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. I mean, we have a large, probably a third of our members are from that region. So it's a big Bantam area.
Mm-hmm. I noticed also at the ABA official site, you've got a survey going on. Should the Sarama be accepted as a new Bantam breed? Should the Sarama be accepted as a new Bantam breed? And currently, 72% of the people who have voted say yes, and only 28% say no. So it's 175-68. Should the Sarama be accepted as a new Bantam breed? Now, explain that to us, because I know they have to go through several hoops and several shows. We talked about this before, so I won't get into it too much detail because we'll let you go. The question to me, if I read it, you know, and it's, should the Sarama be accepted as a new band of breed? Once they go through all these hoops, and I think they're starting with, I don't know, black or white or whatever color they're starting, and they have to show so many times at so many shows and so many birds at each show and things. But once they do that, is it not an automatic in that now it is accepted, or does it still have to be voted on?
The process is kind of different, Andy. They have to show at a back-to-back national meet and semi-annual meet. So logistically, sometimes that's a problem because it could be in California, you know, for the semi-annual and then East Coast for the annual meet. So it happened that they did the first leg of it. They had the White Sarama Bantams at Columbus at the Ohio National. That was their first showing, and then their second showing will be at Delmarva. At that time, the standard committee and the qualifying judge will determine if they should recommend it to the board to be accepted. So after Delmarva, they'll write up a report, and they'll say this breed meets the written standard, and they have enough birds. You have to have 25 birds, at least five in each class to compare. And if it meets it in Delmarva, then they'll submit it to the ABA board, and then we'll vote on it. The unique thing is the Sarama Bantam will be the first new breed that's been qualified since the Americana back in the early 80s. So it's not like we put in a lot of new breeds, you know, often. This is kind of a rare thing. A lot of new varieties are accepted of established breeds. In Columbus, the South Blue Silky was accepted. So they only had to go to one show because we already had the breed in and just accept that color. But with this being a new breed, they're very cautious because they want to make sure there's enough interest in the breed to add it to the standard. There's a lot of cost associated with adding it into the standard and getting that written up and getting a picture and things like that. So this will be their second try. They had some really good birds in the Sarama class in Columbus, and they had some really bad ones. So I one of our recommendations to them was to jury what they showed a little better, so they showed some consistency in their breeding. And there's four or five great breeders of white Sarama Bantams that I have seen personally that have it down pat. So I look for them to pass when they hit Delmarva in March.
Okay, so just because you meet those requirements doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be accepted as a new breed. Now, is that the breeding they were doing out in the mezzanine area of the tabletop judging? Was that a part of the Sarama?
No, there's a group that broke away. Originally, the Saramas wanted to be off in their own little world, and they found out they couldn't survive that way. So they kind of piggybacked onto the regular poultry shows, and some of them will still do their tabletop judging and have their own little separate show, but they want to get into the mainstream poultry Bantam clique, I guess. So they've decided to breed for specific colors and have a written standard and go that way. So that faction of the group of the SCNA, which is the Sarama Council North America, is working towards standardization. There's another faction that likes being off in their own little world. The problem is they don't get much exposure that way. So with going into the regular Bantam shows, they've gained a lot more exposure and a lot more customers for their birds.
Interesting. Very, very good information. I remember I got some pictures of them doing the tabletop showing, and actually we had that live when we were walking by. So, and a lot of those, they had some Saramas that they were doing. So I just wanted to make sure and clarify
I'm
that.
I'm actually a Sarama judge also, so I've been with them since the start and can do the tabletop judging, and it's very interesting for the spectator. It's not easy for the person that's raising the birds because they have to train them to sit there on the table and pose, and sometimes they want to fly all over and are not. but the very good ones will actually sit there like a statue. So it's an interesting side spec. The mainstream poultry will never go that way, but they do their own little shows, and Columbus is always one of the big ones. So you got to see probably one of the larger Sarama shows there is around.
That was great. What a spectacular show. That was absolutely amazing. I look forward to, I don't know if, based on my schedule, if I'll get the Ohio National next year or if I'll try to concentrate on going to the Crossroads, which I'm going to try to put on the schedule as well. But either way, I will definitely see you in Dalton, and I'll keep in touch with you, of course, on Facebook and everything else that's going on with the ABA. And folks, you can join and just go to BantamClub.com. You can join the ABA. You'll get the yearbook if you do that. I'm pretty sure. Is that right? All the members get a copy of the yearbook?
Yep.
The yearbook.
the yearbook's worth the price of their membership. Andy's seen them there, and he's on the front cover. So, inside cover, it's the probably the premier book put out in exhibition Bantam poultry, I think, because everybody's starred wins are in there. There's lots of ads, lots of articles, just a whole bunch of information that's priceless, I think, is for what your membership costs you.
Nice.
I met a lady. This just popped into my head. I met a lady this weekend, and she, and maybe you can answer this because that's one of the resources I was going to go to try to find her. She's looking for large fowl or the Cochin, not the Bantam Cochin, but Cochin barred rock. And she can't find any. She's had some for like 11 years. She can find the Bantam Cochin barred rock, I guess, but she was telling me that she couldn't find the large fowl, the big boys, the big Cochin.
The large barred Cochin is what she's wanting.
Yes.
There's very few breeders of them, but I think the Poultry Press, I think there's one in there. John
okay.
Bark in California, I know, has them. So if she gets John Bark is in the Poultry Press under large fowl Cochins, and he used to have large barred, so that would be a good good recommendation for her to go there.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll get that information to her then, and I get you know the Poultry Press, and then and so I'll take a look at that and see if I can find it. So while I had you on, I was going to pick your brain for that. Well, thank you very much, Vice President of the American Bantam Association, Matt Lehman, and joining us the second Monday of every month. You can tune in and hear all kinds of great information about the ABA. Ask your questions that you may have about showing, anything regarding the shows, big shows coming up, or just rules that you don't understand, or why they're a rule, or maybe changing the rules, any of those questions. We're wide open here on Backyard Poultry with the Questioner because we want to hear your comments and suggestions to make it better. So, Matt, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see you, I guess, the second Monday in January, or maybe we can have Karen come on and tell us, you know, what she does kind of behind the scenes and to help with the ABA, the online, and we met her at the Ohio National and all the hard work that she does for the American Bantam Association. So maybe it'll pan out that we can get her on in January and let her know that we're all praying that her child get much better and get over whatever ailment that he or she has. So we're sorry to hear that she couldn't come on because of those circumstances, but maybe we can have Karen on in January.
We'll work on her, and I want to wish you and Pat a happy holiday, and we'll see you next year, it looks like. So
that
we'll
sounds great.
Karen,
yes, you have
come on, and then I'll plug in. I'll get in the chat room and give her some grief.
That sounds awesome. Thank you very much, Matt, and you have a wonderful Christmas and holiday and New Year. We'll see you next year.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you,
Matt.
Bye-bye.
That was really great.
All righty, very
good. There's always so much to learn. I mean, it just never is never ending. You think, oh, just chickens. What on earth can you talk so much about chickens? And yet it just goes on and on and on, just like Matt was explaining. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There is. You know, it's never. Yeah, just it is amazing what you can learn. Hopefully tomorrow when we broadcast live, we'll learn that a lone rogue bantam chicken can survive in 9-degree weather with a little bit of wind blowing. So there's always something to learn. Maybe we'll learn that in the morning. Maybe we'll learn tomorrow morning that they can't survive alone roosting on a chicken, roosting on a tractor axle by itself. We'll soon find out tomorrow when we come live. We're going to go to a commercial break, folks. When we come back, every Monday is brought to you by Crazy K Farms, maker of the Hen Saver Hen Apron. And remember when we had them on, they talked about the birdie bra that they've got for the crop bra?
Yep,
those should be out. Yes, absolutely. They should be out any day now if they're not already. But we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, some lucky listener, if they know the answer to today's trivia question, is going to win a Hen Saver Hen Apron, Hen Apron, or some people call it a Hen Saddle. And I know you use those, Pat, and I've got one on one of my Rhode Island Reds out back. So,
yep,
so
I've got one on a little Chanticleer, Buff Chanticleer.
Chanticleer. Very good. So we'll be back right after this short break. One lucky listener is going to win a Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm.
When you need an incubator, think Brency, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's Andy, Chicken Whisperer, and my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, author of many different chicken titles, Chicken Tractor, City Chicks, Backyard Market Gardening. You can get to see all those at Amazon, and she's got a book that would tickle your fancy regardless of what your hobby might be regarding backyard poultry. Lots of chock full of information there. So great stocking stuffers, Pat's books, they are. So Pat, welcome back. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I want to remind everybody that we're right smack dab in the middle of the Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest. And so very, very quickly, what that means is you can nominate a local public or private school to receive this brand new chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, a brand new GQF Genesis top of the line tabletop incubator from GQF Manufacturing, and one of Pat's books, City Chicks, autographed to the school. All you have to do is send an email to contest at chickenwhisperer.net. That's contest at chickenwhisperer.net. Nominate the school. We'll need the school name and address and phone number. So the school name, address, and phone number, the principal's name, and why they deserve this prize package. And we would like for the winner to will be chosen based on their attempt already to become more self-sustaining, whether it be compost bins, raised bed gardens. Do they already hatch out chickens? Do they have a recycling program? Are they picking things out of their raised bed gardens and having it in the lunch cafeteria? Do they have a healthy lunch program that they've established? All these different things. And so we'll have a panel of judges. We'll come back after the first of the year and time to get all this shipped to them so they can hatch out some baby chicks for spring and then put them in that awesome chicken coop behind the school or in the courtyard of the school. So very cool is that. So just nominate a local or public or private school that is already demonstrating those attributes at contest at chickenwhisperer.net. So we hope that you'll actually do that. And I'm trying to think what else may be going on, announcements, but we're going to go ahead right for the chicken trivia contest. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. This is for a hen saver hen apron from Crazy K Farm. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, and those are wonderful. I love the apron that my – I think it saved two of my chickens' lives because they – couldn't feather out over the winter, so put that little apron on them and they start strutting around. They look like they're just on parade, and they get used to it really quickly. So it's a good thing to have in every first aid or sort of in your chicken care kit, one of these hen aprons.
Terry Nick asked in the chat room real quick if we're confirming when we receive nominations. Yes, we've received already about 10 or 12 nominations since we started this last week for people nominating the schools. So we have received maybe 10 or so. So maybe I can get on there and just return, say thank you for your nomination. We'll keep you informed on the finalists. So I'll do that just so they know and then get a confirmation that they have been entered. So thank you for that reminder, Terry Nick. Very good idea. So all righty, we'll take caller number 5 right now, 347-637-3237. Caller number 5. What is the – well, we hope it's not common because if you have good husbandry practices, it shouldn't be too common. But what is the common disease that strikes baby chicks that has passed through the droppings? What is the common disease, or maybe we should, instead of making it sound common, what is the particular disease that strikes baby chicks that has passed through the droppings? Caller number 5-347-637-3237. Will win this awesome hen saver hen apron for one of your backyard birds. Someone had suggested in the chat room that I go ahead and just switch over and get the hen saver hen apron off the off Ruby and put it on Broody Mama that's in the backyard just to add that extra little warmth. And I actually got an email from somebody that said that her chickens were roosting in her trees during an ice and sleet storm, and they actually the next morning had a sheet of ice on their back. These are some of the emails I get all the time. I love getting them, people sharing their stories. I get educated on them. I can share their stories with other people like I'm doing right now. But they roosted up the trees, and they had a coop for them. They just choose not to stay in the coop. And it came a cold rain. It got below freezing, and then it started sleeting, and they just stayed right up in the tree, and they actually had a little coat of ice on their backs the next morning from roosting up in the trees. But nonetheless, they were hanging in there and still getting down, scratching around and whatnot. So caller number 5-347-637-3237. What's the common disease that strikes baby chicks that has passed through the droppings? Let me get over here to the switchboard. We are going to take caller number 5 for this. And so, yeah, I got an email, like I said, over the weekend from somebody who, hey, it's below zero, and we got 50-mile-an-hour wind gust. The wind chill's probably 30 below. And walked outside, and guess what? Chickens were fine. So we'll see what happens tomorrow morning. I'll keep everybody updated, and I'll even get a picture of Broody Mama and where she roosts or chooses to roost tonight, and I'll post it tonight, and then I'll post it again tomorrow morning when I go outside and see where she's at and how she's doing. All righty, here we go. We're going to go to the phone lines. All righty, you are live on the air with Andy and Pat, caller number 5, calling in from area code 937. 937, you're live on the air. State your name and what state you're calling from, please.
This is Nick from Dayton, Ohio.
Hey, Nick, what's going on? Hey, I know we only got 2 minutes left. Go ahead and tell us what disease you think that might be, because I'm going to pick your brain here for a minute. Go ahead.
I'm not really sure it is. Coccidiosis?
That's what we're going to go with. Coccidiosis is the answer that I have
all
in front
right.
of me, so we're going to do that. So, hen saver, hen apron coming your way up there to Ohio. Now, why I have you on the line very, very quickly, first, congratulations. Number two, because I know you're famous for this, tell all of our listeners, because we talked about, I think before you came on this morning and got in the chat room, about heated waterers. Now, we only literally have a little over 2 minutes left, but tell us, because you often sound off about how you can make your own heated
yes.
waterer base. So tell all the listeners, what a great service. So glad you won, but now we can pick your brain on how they, too, can make a very inexpensive chicken waterer heater.
Well, this is the time of year. This is the best time to make it because all those cookie tins that you get, well, those cookie tins are what I use for my heat, my waterers. Basically, I just drill a hole in the side and put a an insulated light socket in there with a cord, and I put a low wattage bulb in there. The Edison bulbs work the best, and then I just mm-hmm. put that on top. I put that on the bottom of the water. Just put the water on top, and that's it. And that works great.
You're talking about like those little cookie tins. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is those little shortbread Dutch cookies that you get, and you open
exactly.
up the top lid, and there's all these little paper little things with all little funky chicken,
right.
funky cookies in there. And so what you do is you drill a hole in the side, and then have your light bulb inside that. Put the lid back on. So
correct.
The light bulb is inside that cookie tin with the lid of the cookie tin back on. And then you just set
yep.
water on top of that, and voila, you have a homemade heated waterer.
And it works, like I said, it works wonderful. I mean, we were negative 20 last winter, and I didn't have any frozen water.
What wattage bulb do you use?
What did you say?
I use
homemade water. I just use a hog tin. If you get a tractor supply for $3, and a 5 gallon bucket flipped upside down.
Kind of lost the sound here, Whisper.
Yeah, I did too. He's breaking up a little bit, so let me see if I can get him back on. Nick, real fast, 15 seconds left. What wattage bulb you said real quick?
Any low wattage.
Yeah, he's still broken up real bad. We'll try to get that information tomorrow. Thanks for tuning. We'll talk to you tomorrow, folks. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. Thanks, Pat. You're blessed.
Oh.